Getting a fresh haircut, a new outfit, or even new eyeglasses can change your whole look and even shape the way others perceive your identity. But these outward images are not sustainable. Yet finding our identity in God allows us to flourish all our days, haircut or no. How do we let God's light shine through us? To reflect His identity instead of our worldly identity. That's today on the podcast. Hey, this is Marisa from the Tower Hill production team. Thanks so much for tuning into our Tower Hill podcast. Wherever or whenever you're listening, we hope that this podcast blesses you, and feel free to share it with someone that you know so that they'll feel blessed too. We are in the third installment of a new sermon series called More Than You Know, where Pastor Jason is setting out to see what the Bible says about our identity and finding our purpose. Putting these pieces together of what seems complex and puzzling at times reveals answers to some serious questions like, who am I? Why am I here? And the answer to these puzzle pieces are, well, more than you know. Let's check it out right now.
Well, good morning, Tower Hill Church. It's so good to see you this morning. Welcome to worship. And if you're new with us today, maybe you're checking out the church for the very first time, we want to welcome you and let you know that we're here to make you feel as welcome as you are. Can't wait to see you, hopefully, when things start reopening again. And as Suzanne Duffy mentioned before, that these are things that we're working on. We're working on our plans as we look into the end of summer and into the beginning of the fall. So hang in there. But again, you could still get connected with us. See our online connect card. You'll see it throughout the feed here if you're watching on Facebook Live, or you can find it on our website, towerhillchurch.org. Well, we're in the middle of a sermon series. Actually, we're at the end of a sermon series. This is the last one in the More Than You Know series. We're looking at the book of Ephesians and how God makes us in such a way that if we don't have that sense of identity and purpose, it gets really hard to flourish the rest of our lives because we get kind of stuck in where we are. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about how this is a bit like a puzzle. And, you know, interestingly, our brains, you know, the psychology of this is that our brains, all they want to do is solve puzzles. So it can be a jigsaw puzzle, or it can be, oh my gosh, what am I going to do in my job? And everything in between. And when your brain gets stuck on a puzzle, it gets really hard to move forward. It gets really hard to take that next step in whatever it is because your brain's still working out the solution. It's like when you put that puzzle piece in place and the whole picture becomes clear. And your brain rewards you chemically every time you solve a puzzle. Your brain gives you, you know, releases dopamine and rewards you for that. So we're wired to solve puzzles. But the problem for a lot of us is we have a spiritual puzzle that remains unsolved. That's what happens when you're living your life. Maybe you're not sure about your faith, you're not sure about Jesus, and what happens is you get a little bit stuck, and you try filling that puzzle piece with all the wrong pieces. It's like we have a spiritual midlife crisis all the time, where we try anything and everything that we think is going to plug in the hole, and it doesn't. The piece never fits. No matter how bad we try to jam that piece in there, it never works. And so we're talking about how do we then know who we are in Jesus so that we can live accordingly. Well, this was the very problem in the early church in Ephesus. And so we've been looking at the book of Ephesians and what was going on there. So there were two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, this was a really strange thing that was happening in their church, in their brand new church, in that if you ever read the Old Testament, you know that the Jewish people had a certain way of living life that showed that they belonged to God. They were the people, the chosen ones of God. So dietary restrictions, purity laws, they couldn't even have lunch with Gentiles or non-Jewish people because they were unclean. They were the sinners. They were the ones who didn't have a right relationship with God. So then, you know, enter all these Romans, all these Gentiles into the first church along with the converted Jews to Jesus. And it's like, well, wait a second, how is this even possible? The Jewish converts were saying, hey, look, you can't just let everybody in. They don't do it right. We've been doing it right. So doesn't it make sense that they should become Jewish first, and then we all live together as one church? And Paul addressed that, and he says, no, it's not who you were. It's about who you are now in Jesus. In other words, your heritage doesn't make you a son or daughter of God. You are adopted as a son or daughter of God. So it doesn't matter where you came from. That actually doesn't even count. What counts is the new creation you've been made in Jesus Christ. That all of us, no matter what our heritage, we have one heritage when it comes to God. We are made sons and daughters of God through the blood of Jesus Christ by what he did on the cross for us. And then once that happens, it changes how we live our life now. We've been talking about the difference between self-esteem and God esteem. So self-esteem in our life, you know, it's kind of like this. It's kind of a roller coaster. And the reason it is because we're relying on our own sense of self-worth or who we are or identity based on what other people say or what other people do and then how we think about ourselves. And so we struggle moving forward because we don't have that piece solved. We're just like this all the time. Some days we're great, other days we're not. Now, the difference with God esteem is that it says, no, despite what anybody else says, despite my circumstance, I know that I am a new creation. I am God's son or daughter. I'm an heir to the Father. And having that kind of confidence helps me move forward no matter what's going on in my life. Well, we all know that there are events in our lives that change everything. We know that this pandemic is going to be changing a lot of things for a long time. You know, how we do life together, how we gather as a church, how we do school. All of these, somehow, some way, it feels like everything's going to be impacted by this moment we're all experiencing. Sometimes you don't know you're living through history, you know what I mean? But sometimes you do. This is one of those times. I was thinking about other times where this happened too, like 9/11. I mean, my kids can't even fathom the idea that you could walk people to the gate at the airport and say goodbye. They can't do that. They're like, yeah, were there horse and buggies back in then too, Dad? You know, like, it was a totally different time pre-9/11. So many things in our world has changed. And I don't think there's anybody watching who remembers the 1918 flu pandemic, but most likely what you're going through now is something new that's going to change you and everybody who you love forever. But not everything that happens to us that changes us forever is bad, right? Some of those changes are good. Some of those changes involve a certain level of personal sacrifice, but in the end, the rewards far outweigh the sacrifice. Here's what I mean. It's like anybody who remembers, if you've had children, remembers having your first. And so I was thinking about when my daughter Katie was born. That's not Katie, but you know, it's a likeness. When Katie was born, I mean, it changed everything about my life. Kids have a tendency to do that. Everything changed. And I remember thinking about, oh, how is my life going to be different when we have kids? And I had a certain idea in my head. And let me just tell you, that's not what the reality presented itself to be. And oftentimes when I'm doing like premarital counseling and stuff, I love listening to the couples talk about what life's going to be like when they have children. I try to stifle laughter and just encourage them because yeah, I was in that same place. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we're still going to do the things that we love and we're still going to make sure that we take time for ourselves and we hang with our friends. And I'm just like, great, awesome, God bless you. I hope that works out for you. But what you don't realize is everything's different, right? How you spend your money changes a little. How I spend my time. Even just my career path, the things that I care about. The ability to take vacations, oh my goodness. Getting ready to go on vacation. I mean, it used to be, hey honey, let's just drive somewhere for the weekend. Let's just go do this. Oh, you know what, do you want to go out to dinner? Yeah, let's go do that. Those days are gone, at least for a while. Now you don't go on any vacations, you just go on trips. You don't go on any more vacations. I'm just kidding, but sort of. But anyway, everything changes when you have kids. But am I to say, well, I'm making those sacrifices because I have kids. Does that mean having kids is not worth it? Of course not. It's been the biggest blessing. One of the biggest blessings of my life is to have children. Is it hard? Yes. Do I not know what I'm doing a lot of the time? Yes. Unless you're my kids, I know exactly what I'm doing all the time, guys. But how it changed everything, but it's been the biggest blessing ever. Because of this new reality, my life has changed. And I would never go back to the way my life was, even though I sacrificed some things to be here. And what happens next in Paul's discussion with the Ephesians, he starts talking about this very fact that your life now is different now that you have faith in Jesus Christ. You're called to a higher calling, and it's going to mean some sacrifice. But the benefits far outweigh whatever you think you're sacrificing. You're going to get so much more in return. You are going to flourish. You're going to be blessed in your life as a result of it. So let's see what he says now. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. He says this, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So he's saying, you know, now that this new reality has happened to you, your life has to change. Your life is different. And remember, all the way up until this point, it's been all really mostly about the Jewish converts who said, yeah, well, you know, we are the chosen people of God. And Paul's like, you are, but so is anyone who puts their faith in Jesus. And that must have been a very difficult message for them to hear. So then you kind of wonder, like, are the Gentiles just thinking, wait, we're in? Sweet. We kind of like how our life is. This kind of works. We get the best of everything. We get life with Jesus, and we get the way that we're living our life as Gentiles. And so, you know, they're thinking, we are now the chosen people of God too. But, Paul tells them, everything changes. Here we go with verse 17. "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." It's kind of like you're a Christian now, and that changes everything. And you can almost hear them asking, well, then now what? It's like when I brought Katie home from the hospital. You know, the hospital was great because the nurse comes in and they make sure everything's taken care of. They even wheel her out so that mom can sleep. They make sure the baby's fed and cared for. And I remember the feeling when we got home, and it was like total panic. Now what? I don't have a nurse telling me what to do every second. Well, I don't know. I guess we got to figure this thing out. Baby needs to get fed and probably needs to be changed and needs to sleep. And so you kind of figure it out, but that's when everything changes. So for a lot of Christians, and this may be true for you too, you may be in a spot in your faith where you're like, okay, I put my faith in Jesus. Now what? Now what am I supposed to do? Or, which I gather many of you might be in this position, you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but you're stuck. One of the reasons you may be stuck may have to do with what I'm going to talk about next. And you might be asking, now what? Well, I love how Paul puts it about kind of taking off the old self, putting off the old self and putting on the new self. Sort of like the intentionality of getting dressed or getting undressed is that you do it on purpose. Unless you're a college student and you just wear the first thing you trip over every morning, usually there's some intention as to what you put on and take off. It's a conscious act to say, this is who I'm going to be. I'm going to be living into my purpose. I'm going to make a life worthy of the calling today by doing this. And the process is very simple, but it's not necessarily easy. And this is the process that Paul just outlined. The first is to put off your old self. And you might be thinking, wait a minute. I don't have the power to do that. Only Jesus can make me new through the cross. And if you're thinking that, you're right. However, it's always been, the way God has set it up, a partnership. He won't do things in your life. He won't live your Christian life for you. You have to choose it. So there's an act of will involved in that. It's equal parts act of will and Spirit of God acting. Together, this is how the Christian life is lived. God's not going to force the Christian life on you. You have to receive it. And even that takes an open hand. So you do that together. You put off your old self. Now, what does that look like? Well, for me, it looks like when those things, and it's almost always to do with sin, right? Those things in my life before Jesus that kind of rear their heads. Because I know I'm supposed to live a certain way according to Jesus. But sometimes those old patterns come up. I'll give you a couple of examples. One of my biggest ones is I've always been a debater. And I've always been the kind of person that I won't stop until I'm proven right. And the problem with that is, especially as a Christian or as a pastor, is it damages relationships. So at the cost of being right, which I may not be, but I think I am, the cost of being right, I might destroy relationships forever. I might cause a lot of collateral damage. And so sometimes I'm tempted, especially in the face of criticism, where somebody will criticize me for something, and I'll want to respond with a debate. And I have to stop myself and say, no, you don't need to be right. You need to be like Jesus. If you're right, you're right, and you know it, but you need to care about other people enough not to wield whatever argument you have as a weapon against them. There are lots of ways the old self gets stirred up, and it usually happens when I'm tired, when I'm not feeling well. It's like my defenses are down. When I'm not feeling good physically or I'm run down physically, I become kind of a spiritual moron. They're so connected. But I have to make that decision in the moment to put off the old self. No, I'm not going to put on those clothes. I'm not going to put on that person that I was. And then more than that is put on the new self. As Paul says, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, all right, what clothes am I going to put on? Well, what's Jesus wearing? How does Jesus navigate this life? How do I know? The more I know about Jesus, the more I want to emulate him and decide that's the person that I'm going to be. I'm going to live a life worthy of the calling, so I'm going to be like Jesus. Why? Because that's what he asked me to do. I mean, imagine somebody saved your life. Somebody rescued you from a burning building. You would spend the rest of your life honoring that person, right? Now imagine they saved you from a burning building and they lost their lives in order to save yours. How would you live the rest of your life? Would you just ignore that that person ever did that? No. It would probably have a dramatic effect. You would try to live up to the gift that you've been given. You would try to honor that person that saved you in every way as often as you can. So why don't we do that with Jesus more? Jesus literally saved us from death itself. He saved us from what we all deserved, and that's an eternity away from God. He brought us home, so why wouldn't we want to live a life worthy of the calling? The sacrifices that it's going to take pale in comparison to the eternal reward we are given. Would we ever go back? No. So why do we keep acting like we would? We have to put on the new self. Remember, it's the difference between darkness and light. Everybody's asking, you know, kind of where's God in all of this? And all I can say is, we are all right here. God's plan A for reaching the world with the hope of the gospel is you and me. It's us. We are to be a light in the darkness. And we are not going to do that if we're not living a life worthy of the call. Will the people in your life, if they look at the actions of your everyday life, do they see light? Do they see the hope of Jesus? I ask myself that question, and it's one I don't like to ask. Because in a way, I'm like, I don't even want to face this because I have a lot of shame or I have a lot of guilt or I'm not living up to the life I've been called. And when that happens, don't let that paralyze you. Just recognize, all right, Lord, I need you more than ever, but I'm not ever going to give up living the life you've called me to live. Not just because I want to honor you, but also because I'm going to be the best version of me in this life. I'm going to flourish more as a human in this life if I'm living the way you've asked me to live. Ephesians 5:8 puts it this way, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." What does that mean? Well, I think the real issue is it's not the person you are on Sunday morning, but who are you between the Sundays? I mean, just look around. Just turn on your news. Just watch your Facebook feed. Just look at anything for about 5 minutes, and you see what's happening in our culture right now. People just tearing each other down. People filled with rage and outrage at everything anybody says. People who have lost hope. People who are scared, who are hurting. And, you know, I think we as Christians, we need to figure out how to be the counterculture. Not that all those issues don't matter, but the way we approach those issues matters. We can disagree without being disagreeable. We can show love instead of outrage. We can love each other enough to speak the truth in love. I think people are forgetting. They think, no, just speak the truth. Speak it in love. Why? Because if you just speak the truth, not in love, you damage those relationships. And then darkness wins. I'm going to encourage you, wherever you are in your faith, whatever you're going through, that you would embrace the light that wants to reflect through you, to put on intentionally the new self, cast off the old self, and you will be blessed more than you know.